Yes. Senator Humphrey returning your call?
Just one, sir.
All right, sir. Hello?
Hello.
Mr. Senator?
Yes.
Can you hold on for just a minute, please?
I surely
will. Hubert?
Yes, Mr. President.
How are you getting along?
Fine.
I'm Stutter. Budget estimate here for the food stamp.
Uh-huh.
Thing, the removal of surplus agriculture commodities. Says not more than $75 million of expenses for the food stamp program.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the last day I can get a budget estimate. And the things that I do, I really want to get in operation and make any impact we can between now and November.
Yes, sir.
We have to watch this pretty carefully in the appropriation bill.
Uh-huh.
I'm sending up a good many supplementals that don't amount to very much. I just met with Blatnick and Albert Rains.
Mm-hmm.
And we have $222 million in the budget this year, calculated, estimated, for ARA.
Yeah.
They say that it's late. We're getting the money much later. They haven't been able to plan on some of these industrial loans. And that they can't pass it in the House anyway. The vote was a few votes short. That they think if I would put in some money to accelerate public works, that would help carry the ARA and we might be able to spend that money. I told them to go back and see if they could cut the ARA authorization from 360, because we haven't got the 220 to spend, so there's no use of authorizing a hell of a lot larger amount. Just makes it harder to pass. Cut it, say, to 250.
Yeah.
And then go to Albert Thomas and the boys at Hanley Appropriation and say, now we're going to cut it to 250, but there's only 222 in the budget for it, and we'll go for the 222 appropriation if you'll put it in and divide it 2 and 1, 2 for accelerated public works, 1 for ARA, mm-hmm. About $70 million, $150 million.
Mm-hmm.
They, Albert Rains and Wright Patman and Blatnick and that crowd, that's what they want to do. So I told them if they could sell the house on it, mm-hmm. in order to get the ARA moving,
yeah.
that we'd do that. And that might give us a little impact, small one, between now and November, at least better than if we did nothing.
Yeah.
Now that's what I'm thinking.
Now does that require the accelerated public works to have a new authorization though, doesn't it?
I didn't ask him that. I would think that...
We had that that bill runs out. No, that's right. It does not run out until January. That's right. We could add extra monies in. There is some money that was authorization that wasn't used.
I understand, though, if it did, it wouldn't be but $150 million.
That's right.
I understand everybody won't spend a billion or so I don't guess it'd be much problem.
Oh, my God, no. It'll go through in a hurry. Everybody keeps asking about it every day.
All right, well, that's what I've told them to look at. So there's two things now.
But
what
those,
do we
are,
do
all,
on,
those
do,
are all supplemental, aren't they?
Yeah. What do we do on this? What do we do on this food stamp that's making an impact to $75 million? What do they do? Can that do any good in these cities, or what?
Yes.
Where is it going to help?
It very, very definitely will help in these cities. And it'll be very helpful, too, in some of the southern areas. And we ought to get it. I think you ought to ask for as much of it there as you can use between now and January.
Well, I've got your budget estimate. I'm just getting ready to sign it now.
Yeah.
Now?
There's been requests about it already.
Well, now what's happening on your foreign aid? Looks like they're good up there.
Well, we're going to take care of this in conference. It's a damn outrage what went on here the other day. I'll tell you what happened. We had all these things beat. And then the Dirksen negotiations on this reapportionment thing were blowing up one afternoon. And George Aiken and his Wynn Prouty and Boggs of Delaware and others that we ordinarily depended upon came on over to Mike and said, if the hell with it, we're going to... if we're not going to be able to work out anything on this apportionment business, we're going to start voting with Morse. And they just plain up and voted with him. I pleaded with him not to do so. I said to him, look, we're going to try to work out something here. But George said, well, we'll take care of it in conference, but I want to cast a vote or two. So what we'll have to do, I'm making a little statement today for a little background, legislative background on it. That $260 million that Wayne knocked out of the authorization, we'll be able to save about $150 million of that or more in authorization. It really doesn't make too much difference, Mr. President, because it's been more or less tentatively agreed that we would come out with about the same appropriation, maybe a little bit more, than the House did. But we'll be able to get the authorization up to at least $3.4 billion.
Well, that's okay. Now, what about this Indonesia amendment?
The Indonesia amendment, we'll just plain have to knock out. That's all we've got to do that. I've talked with the State Department people about it. And Bill Fulbright knows we have to knock it out. Bert Hickenlooper knows we have to knock it out. I talked to Hick and I said, what in the hell did you let that John Tower get up there and do this? He said, well, he couldn't stop him. He knows it has to go out. And I'll tell you, the other thing is the oil companies know it has to go out. The Esso and these boys are going to lose all their damn property over there if we don't do something about it. And I think we've got to put those fellows to work. I told one of their representatives that called on me yesterday, I said, don't talk to me. I said, go and talk to these guys that have been voting against you. They're scared to death that they're going to get expropriated. So I think we'll just have to work on them a little bit. I spread the message with the New Jersey Esso people that if they wanted to save any of their oil interests over there, they better start doing some work around here.
Now, I left up to you and Ken O'Donnell to handle this Mississippi thing.
Well, that's what I was going to call you this morning to come over and talk to you. I met with Ken about it yesterday and talked because I had a long talk with Joe Rao. I've been just working the devil out of that Joe, trying to get him steamed off on this. And I understood that Dave Lawrence and Kenny met with Joe and had quite a talk with him. And I then met with Joe again yesterday. And then I called Kenny and asked him if he could talk to me a little bit about it because I needed to know what had really transpired with Dave Lawrence and Kenny. And their last discussion was on the basis of seating both of these delegations.
You can't do that at all. There's no compromise. You seat one or the other. You can't seat both of them because if you do, the other one walks out.
Well, that's what I understand, and I just, that's why I...
There's just no justification for messing with the Freedom Party at all in Mississippi. We sent out and wrote them a letter and told Mississippi that they had to agree to the Humphrey Battle rule that put the names on the ticket.
Right.
Now, they're not doing it in Alabama, and they haven't done it in Louisiana.
No.
But we would look awfully silly to throw out Mississippi, who has done it and complied with every rule and every requirement we laid down, and then say, well, we're just going to throw you out because Mississippi.
I agree.
You just can't do that. Now, on the other hand, if you let it come up, a man in California like Pat Brown is not too strong anyway, and a fellow like Dick Hughes up in New Jersey is in trouble. You got a fellow like Wagner that's got going in every direction in New York. You got a bad situation in Chicago. They're about to have some riots out there. Now you got Martin Luther King, and the communists have got a hold of him, and they are managing and directing him every day. The guerrilla members of the organization are calling up here and asking us to do things for them, and they in this Freedom Party pretty big, and they want to make a big issue there. Now, what ought to be done from the good of the party standpoint? If they want to help Goldwater, that's all right. I can get along if they can get along. And if they want to let Goldwater, that's not going to make me cry one bit. I left the majority leadership to be vice president, which no man would do unless he wanted to get away from activity. And I decided I wanted to get away from it, and I didn't want to fall on my face and be dead there on the floor of the Senate some morning wrestling with Wayne Morse and an old drunken John Butler. So I decided that I might be able to help the ticket some, and I'd get out of the activity, and I did. Now I'm back in it through no fault of my own, but I'm in it. And I think that we have a pretty good party, and I think that we have a chance to win. I don't think it's as good as anybody thinks it is. Last night, the district attorney in Dallas called me, and the Goldwater forces, Walker forces and the Birch forces have rented about 4,000 square feet there. They put in the mail this week 3 million of these slanderous books about me.
Yeah.
They have in practically every major city these telephone recordings. They're impeaching Earl Warren. They're giving me hell, and they're giving Eisenhower hell. And the telephones are ringing off the line. They've got an underground that's just absolutely unthinkable, but it's the same kind of movement that elected fellas like McCarthy, John Butler from Maryland, and that same old group. As a matter of fact, Goldwater's secretary is the man that, his press secretary, is the man that handled the crop picture in the Maryland campaign.
Yeah.
Now, we just got that going deep. In nearly every place, your labor union people, the union members themselves are upset and think that nigger's going to get his job.
Yeah.
They got out of every real estate man. They think the nigger's going to move next door to him. And it's just not a good situation. And the cities, as Joe Clark showed, he's not too popular. But he and Genevieve Blatt showed that they could just come in with nothing and beat the regular Garns, Frank Smith organization. And our organizations are tired and worn out and lazy and looking after themselves. They just think they got labor niggers and that's all there is to it. We're not appealing to the fresh people. So this is an extremely dangerous election. Now, the thing that makes it more dangerous than anything else is I'm telling you, if I know anything, I know this. If we mess with the group of Negroes that were elected to nothing, that met in a hotel room and said, we want you to recognize us and throw out the governor and the elected officials of the state, if we mess with them, we will lose 15 states without even campaigning. Warren Jenkins called John Connally yesterday. And he said, couldn't even make a speech for the president. Said, this thing would be so bad that no one could even make a speech for him. Just write us all. And he has no more sympathy with Mississippi than I have or you have. But he just says, well, God Almighty, was you. I told Blatnick this morning, if Blatnick was elected by the people of Minnesota and had no opposition and some damn segregationists out there, got up and said, I moved in here in Mississippi, and I'm going to elect myself in the hotel room and come down here, and Dick Russell and Jim Eastland and them control the committees, and they'd say, well, we're not going to pay attention to who's elected. We like you and your segregation, so we're going to seat you. You can imagine how you'd feel in Minnesota. We just can't do that to any state. Now, I wouldn't mind doing anything in Mississippi, but I don't want to do anything in Mississippi to lose Oklahoma for me, and I don't want to do anything in Mississippi to lose Kentucky for me, and I don't want anything in Mississippi to lose Maryland. And most of all, I damn sure don't want to lose Texas, because I can be elected if I just hold Texas. But that's what we're doing. Now, if we've got to have some blood, we ought to get it wiser. Alabama will not put her name on the ticket.
Yeah.
Louisiana has not got her name on the ticket yet. Now, they don't meet the rules to come into that convention. And if the Freedom Party wants to do something, they can say, well, now, Alabama. And he's a fellow that's been going around stirring up all the hell and being mean. They can say, we're not going to seat him. You've got a different legal question.
Yes.
But Mississippi's complying with everything that you and Battle asked them. And we sat down and wrote them a letter and said, will you comply? And they wrote back and said, hell yes, we've done complied.
Yes.
And they had to come.
I
talked to Walter Reuther. He said that he could help with these Negro organizations and he would do something about it.
Well, I've been
but he hadn't done anything about it. I talked to Ken. He said, well, he'd get right on it. There's only 4 states then. I'll talk to you. Now, I think unless we do something today or tomorrow, I talked to Jim Rowe this morning, we've got to do something that'll convince the core crowd and Martin Luther King.